Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's hour number two here of Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Thursday, on this draft day. Had a lot of fun there in the first hour. You can go back and listen to any of it on KFHradio.com. Tim Fitzgerald there joining us, talking about the Dylan Edwards now potential return to K-State, or maybe across the street to rival KU, to the Ireland trip, to his stirring of the pot on the new KU stadium. You can go back and listen to all of that at KFHradio.com. We always appreciate, by the way, mornings here at KFH, the staff. Prairie Fire Coffee, always available there in the break room. There's a huge tub of it, and everybody enjoys it. When I'm in there doing the Infinity Sports Network shifts, Tommy, I'm not kidding. I'll bet you I go through 10 refills of the cup. Now, that doesn't mean I drink 10 cups of coffee.
Good Lord.
So the beauty of it for me is in there, and that's why I always appreciate Prairie Fire doing this for us, is I need the hot. I drink coffee here in the home studio every day because I need the heat for the voice. It's less so in a 2-hour show when I have a co-host, right? We get to give each other breaks plenty. But when it's 5 hours solo, whoo boy, do I need the heat. And the fastest and easiest way for me to get heat on the old, windpipes is through that coffee there. Maybe, and I have to be careful so that I don't drink like 10 cups of coffee, but it's there, and I appreciate that.
You might want to cover your ears, knowing what you do for a living outside of this. Yeah, but one thing that Prairie Fire also does for us here in the studios is it's not only coffee, it's also iced tea. And I know, right?
What?
And so I'm here, I'm obviously at the station, basically every day throughout the entire day. And I can do coffee in the morning. I'm a morning coffee kind of guy, but then I got to switch to something else. And I drink a lot of that iced tea that Prairie Fire provides. So always appreciate their partnership with us.
Not so much a competitor. They obviously do bigger and larger things. Not so much retail like we are, but we do appreciate Prairie Fire there. And we, appreciate everything. And you can get your hands on it for your office or whatever. Just look for it. We appreciate their support here at Odyssey, though. Tommy, let's talk about T. Higgins. So T. Higgins is an interesting concept for the Chiefs, one that I would be far more interested in, I think, had they not already invested in Hollywood Brown. He'd be a good fit anywhere. He's a really good player. Really good player. I don't think it would be... I wouldn't do this if I were the Chiefs. I don't think they need to. I don't think it would be the smart place to spend their money. If they didn't have Rashee Rice, I'm not considering his legal situation, but if they didn't have Rashee Rice, I would think about it. But I think they have a player that has the potential to be as impactful in an offense as T. Higgins is through Rashee Rice. So I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't even consider it if I were the Chiefs. It'll be too expensive. You can trade for him, but you're going to have to sign him to a big deal. Did you see the deal Amon Ross St. Brown just signed?
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
I don't know if T. Higgins is going to get that, but he's going to get close to it. And so, no, I would absolutely not be interested in this if I were the Chiefs. I would need to be far more desperate to be into this. The Jets, They probably ought to be into this if they could make it happen, right? They're desperate. They have like a one-year window. The Chiefs, I know they have this 1 year to win a third Super Bowl, but the Chiefs' window is still like 10 years open. I just don't think it's necessary to do something like that.
Is it likely that they make the trade? No, probably not. But I do think that it would be foolish to not at least kick the tires on it and see if there's a way to make that work. And I would imagine that's probably what has been going on. I would be, you know, I'd be surprised if Brett Veach is not, you know, at least figuring out if there was a possible way to make it work, because T. Higgins is such a phenomenal talent that, you know, I think that anybody would want to try to find a way to get him on your team. But again, I don't think it's likely. Honestly, I think you mentioned the Jets, another team that I think would be great for him, and I can maybe see this playing out, would be the Patriots. I think the Patriots have quite a bit of capital to be able to go out and you know, not only trade for T. Higgins, but then sign him. They probably are going to draft a rookie quarterback, and then you could pair a new dynamic rookie quarterback with T. Higgins to be your premier wide receiver. So that's something else I think of that could be a possibility. Again, I don't think that it's likely. I don't even know what the betting odds are, you know, as far as who's most likely to end up with T. Higgins. I can't imagine the Chiefs are at the top of that. But I think that it should at least be worth a conversation, because here's the thing, and I mentioned this to you yesterday when this all came down. One thing that Brett Veach has always been good at is getting creative and trying to figure out ways to get things to work within the salary cap. I mean, he's restructured contracts multiple times. You know, he gets creative in how he wants to do that. So if they really want him and they feel like they can go out and they can get him, then Brett Veach will make the money work. I don't exactly know how he's going to do it, but he's been a wizard with that sort of thing, figuring out, you know, freeing up salary cap dollars.
Yeah, they could do it, but at the cost of what? You know, like, what does that mean? Like, so if you go do that, what does that cost you, big picture? Does it cost you Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey? It's going to cost you somebody. And so if you do that, like, if you're asking me what is more important for this particular team, I would say both of those guys at minimum are more important. I would say Trent McDuffie is more important. I would say probably George Karlaftis is going to end up being more important. Whoever this left tackle that they end up with should be more important, although it won't be expensive for a while if they draft one. You know, is Rashi Rice more important, assuming he clears this legal situation at some point? Is he the guy you'd want to invest in? The one thing T. Higgins could do is help you offset the loss of Travis Kelce when the time comes, right? If Travis, and we don't know how much time Travis Kelce is going to play football. I think it's been overblown how close to retirement he is. I just don't get any indication he's anywhere near it as long as he's competing at a high level and he's still the best tight end in football. So, you know, I don't know how you can even, unless he's being honest with them behind the scenes and saying, hey guys, for real, I've got like 1 year left or I've got 2 years left. That would be one thing, but I doubt it. And I just don't know, you know, pop star wife or anything put to the side. Like, I don't know what would incline him to retire right now. His you know, celebrity status is not going away anytime soon, whether he's dating Taylor Swift or not. Like, he was already becoming a super celebrity. So that would be about the only thing that in any of this, by the way, and we talked about this, was it with you or with Paul? The potential of needing to replace Travis Kelce is the one thing about drafting a wide receiver that has my interest. But it would be the same thing for T. Higgins, right? But that's not right now. And right now, if Kelsey's not retiring like next year, paying T. Higgins the contract that it's going to take to get him, I mean, it's going to cost you somebody. And in the short term, that's offensive linemen and a young corner that I just don't want to lose. I'd much rather have those guys on this roster.
I get it. And I recognize all of that, because you can't pay everybody. You can't keep everybody. There's no way to make that happen in the world of the salary cap. This isn't Major League Baseball, where you can be the Dodgers and go out there and, you know, pay everybody everything. That's just not realistic in the NFL, in the way that it's all built. That being said, though, like I said, it's not likely, but don't you think that it is the responsibility, not just of Brett Veach, but, I mean, come on, every general manager probably in the NFL to at least kick the tires and, you know, at least think about it, to at least look at, you know, the possibility and what you can do to bring in a talent like T. Higgins. And maybe it's a very quick thought. You know, maybe it's, you know, something that's fleeting. You know, Brett Veach, you know, puts a couple of things on paper and tries to figure out, you know, some magic to make it work, and then is like, look, it's not going to be realistic for us. We're not going to do it. But I do think that it's the responsible thing for everybody to at least look at that. I mean, where would you put T. Higgins as far as, you know, maybe a top 10 wide receiver? Like, is he in the top 10? Is he in the top 5? Where does he rank as far as top receivers right now in the NFL?
Not top 5. Oh, man, that's a good question. So off the top of my head, without looking at a list and knowing that I'm absolutely going to forget about players, Justin Jefferson, his teammate Jamar Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown just got a big deal. I think he's better. I'm trying to find. Let me pull up a quick list because I don't want to do him a disservice of where he would rank for me. So I would. So these are the receivers that I think I would rather have than T. Higgins at the moment. And we're talking short term here: CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jamar Chase, Chris Olave probably, AJ Brown with his injuries, maybe not. I think now we're getting into the T. Higgins realm. Michael Pittman's right there with him. So top 10 is probably fair, I think-ish, right? That's about top 10. My problem with him is, and it's not his fault, is he's been with Jamar Chase the whole time. I do think there's a world, Tommy, where he goes and becomes the alpha and elevates himself into that category and that stratosphere. We haven't been able to see him do it, though, and he's going to have to get paid that way before. Like, is he really going to accept a trade somewhere and go prove it for a year? No, I think he's wanting to be traded so he can get his contract now. And right now, he hasn't had the opportunity maybe that some of these other guys have had, because he has had to share it to some degree with a really talented wide receiver room. I don't know. I mean, there's layers of risk involved with bringing him in. I think if you had it, like the Chargers would make sense for them to go bring in T. Higgins, right? Like that's a team that could make sense of that, I think. A team that, you know, at least at worst case scenario, you're bringing in a talented receiver when your quarterback position is established and you need a weapon for your quarterback. If I didn't have a quarterback, I would certainly not be interested in this. And like, you know, like let's say Carolina, right, for Bryce Young. Do you bring him in to help Bryce Young? I mean, maybe, but we still don't even know if Bryce Young's going to be very good. So I don't know that that even makes sense. It would have to be a place that has a good quarterback that, you know, softens the risk of paying a wide receiver that way. I think the Jets makes the most sense. I think the Jets would be a very... Oh, Garrett Wilson, I would take over T. Higgins, by the way. But adding him to the mix with the Jets...
Yeah, that makes you pretty explosive.
I'd have some interest in that.
You know, that because may make everything, you the best...
Everything they're doing is a one-year situation anyway.
If the Jets bring in T. Higgins to pair alongside Garrett Wilson, I mean, at that point, I think that probably makes the Jets the best wide receiver room, at least in the conference, at least in the AFC. Because, I mean, I think before it's been the Bengals, right? I mean, you know, so yeah. I think you just move T. Higgins to the Jets, and then that becomes the best wide receiver room, I think, unless I'm forgetting
I'd have to
one.
Think about that. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to even keep up with where everybody's moved. Once we get through the draft, I do that. Like, did you know? Because I almost just said, well, the Steelers, but I forgot. Did you know Deontay Johnson was...
Yeah,
he's with the Panthers now.
He's
so,
out.
So I have to like get a settling of things on that and look. I'm not sure who everybody even has right now. We'll get through the draft. We'll you know, once we get to camp and things, it'll really be, I mean, let's be real. It'll be once we start paying attention to fantasy football is when we're really going to dig into that. But yes, it would put them right there with anybody, and it would give Aaron Rodgers another weapon. But it's going to, like, that's the appropriate risk, don't you think, for a team like them who is in that situation to just come in and say, you know what, we're all in anyway. Why the hell not? Let's go get T. Higgins. Because nothing, you know, what else are you going to do? And when the dust settles and Aaron Rodgers is gone, whoever else it is that they bring in at least would be then, in theory, sitting there coming into a situation with, you know, Garrett Wilson and T. Higgins at minimum, which would be attractive for, you know, probably for them, a free agent quarterback. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me for the Chiefs. I think I would rather have any of the players it would potentially cost them to bring him in. Any one of them. Like, I don't know how far down the list I would have to go. And this isn't, again, this isn't a knock on T. Higgins. It's just about this specific situation with the Chiefs. If it cost them any one of Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Karlaftis, McDuffie. I mean, I guess that's the list probably right now off the top of my head. Then I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't. There's no way. I would rather have any of those guys because I currently have Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, and Travis Kelce. That's plenty, right? And if Rashee Rice misses time, you've either got two at least high resource picks that you hope continue to develop. And I know that's a fool's game, but it's a different sort of pressure on Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney this year. Like, they have no expectations this year, anything they give you now. Whereas last year, we needed something from those two guys, right? Like, one of them, and they didn't. This year, you don't really need anything from either of them. Anything they give you is a bonus because you're counting on those other three guys so heavily. I still do think they need to bring somebody in. I would honestly, like, you know how badly I want them to take and solve left tackle in this draft. I would much rather see them draft a receiver than go spend the money it would take to get T. Higgins. I'll tell you that, no question.
Are you out on any of the remaining free agent wide receivers that are out there right now? I mean, I know we need to get through the draft tonight first, but
I like a lot of them.
You know, do you think that there still is a potential that Kansas City could try to bring in another veteran wide receiver?
Yes.
You know, I mean,
if I'm trying to predict the draft, I'm predicting they move up, they take left tackle, and they sign one of these wide receivers. Okay. I mean, that's it for me.
Yeah.
That's what I think they're going to do. I mean, now, again,
I'm sure they'll take a wide receiver at some point in the draft, though. I mean, maybe not in the first round if they go left tackle, but I think that there's probably maybe a third or, you know, fourth round pick or something they could take on a wide receiver. I mean, here's who is still available as a free agent wide receiver: Hunter Renfrow, Allen Robinson, Odell Beckham Jr., Michael Gallup. I like Michael Gallup a lot. If that was, I would potentially jump on board with that if they can get him.
I like that player. I think he's too similar to what they'll ask Hollywood Brown to do, though.
Tyler Boyd is available. Michael Thomas is still available. Obviously, they released MVS, so he's not coming back there. Russell Gage, DJ Chark, Jamal Agnew. Of course, Mecole Hardman is on the list. He's actually the youngest so far of all the names I've just listed. Mecole Hardman is still the youngest on that list. And then it goes down from there with, like, Randall Cobb and Chase Claypool and Sterling Shepard and Richie James. So, that, I mean, there are
a
handful of names.
I'll give you the names. Here again, perfect scenario for tonight and through this draft. They take their favorite left tackle. You know, I don't think that person's falling to 32, so it probably requires a trade-up. You do that, you get left tackle. You know, you take another offensive lineman in the draft. You make sure you come away with a corner or two. And then in free agency, you go get one of these names. Renfrow, Hunter Renfrow, Allen Robinson, DJ Chark, Sterling Shepard. We'll get one of those guys for nothing to back up Rashee Rice and you know, play it safe there. And at some point, you can draft another wide receiver later in the draft. I don't really care at that point. That's how I hope this goes for them. That's how I think it should go for them. And a big reason why I don't think they need to take the round one wide receiver, because I think their room is good enough without it, but I know that some of these players have risk involved. Like Sterling Shepard, yeah, he's been hurt a lot. That dude is a really good football player. You're not asking much. You're asking him to be available in the games that Rashee Rice isn't available pretty much, right? Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
He's also going to be 32. He's also going to be 32 years old.
That's fine, because you're going to sign him to a one-year deal anyway. It doesn't matter, right? These guys are coming in. I mean, Hunter Renfrow, same thing. Hunter Renfrow would be a little different. Hunter Renfrow could probably help them with or without Rashi Rice.
And Hunter Renfrow would be potentially a player that, you know, I don't know if the Chiefs would do this, but I wouldn't have a problem with them signing him to more than a one-year deal. You know, if it's a two.
I wouldn't sign any of these guys. I wouldn't sign any of these guys to more than two. I would like to get any of, I would, whoever they bring in, if I'm the Chiefs, I'd like to do it on a one-year deal. Like, come here, reset your market value with Patrick Mahomes in this offense, and then go make a bunch of money next year. That's a pretty attractive offer for just about all of these players, right? Or it's somebody like Allen Robinson, who has been so snake-bitten by quarterback play that it's like, you know what, dude? You were once one of the most talented guys in this league. Come have some fun with a guy like Patrick Mahomes. No more Blake Bortles. No more Mitch Trubisky. Like, come play with Patrick Mahomes. No offense, Blake Bortles or Mitch Trubisky. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying. Like, that's what I would do if I were the Chiefs. There is a lot of smoke around the wide receiver thing. I can't figure out why, unless they're really concerned about the Rashi Rice situation, there would need to be. Hollywood Brown, Rashi Rice, Travis Kelce, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, I know, but as your fourth and fifth options, like, that ain't bad. And that's not the only guys they have on the roster either, but that's going to be good enough. I just... Get your left tackle solved. Go get another corner. I don't know. I just, it'd be, of draft priorities for me, it'd be third on the list. I'd rather see an offensive lineman. I'd rather see another corner. But nobody gets upset by an early wide receiver. They're exciting. I get it. Like, we're all going to love it if they do it and say, oh, man, this guy, look how good he is.
So the most recent mock draft, and I know there are tons of them out there, but the most recent ESPN mock draft now has the Chiefs going wide receiver in the first round, Xavier Leggett, South Carolina. That's their final, like the final ESPN mock draft from today is Xavier Leggett, wide receiver, South Carolina in the first round.
There's a left tackle from Oklahoma, Guyton. Mm-hmm. I have seen them mocked to a couple of times, and that's at just picking at 32. Again, if they, like, I think the best thing that could happen to them is the guy that they like at left tackle falls to 32. That I'd be, if they end up taking a tackle at 32, I would guess that means, Tommy, that they liked that left tackle and evaluated him highly. Because I do think if they like one over the other, they're in a really good position to go get him. So if they take one at 32, it probably would tell us they actually like that player as much or more than some of these others. That would be probably the best case scenario, I think. But, you know, the chances of that are low. Offensive linemen, you know, grades feel pretty consistent and moderately safe. I don't, maybe not, actually. I can think of some left tackles that have failed, for sure. We'll come back. We'll talk a little baseball. Royals trying to make it 3 out of 4 against the Jays in some afternoon baseball. Sigh of relief, what we're seeing in this series? I think it might be. We'll come back. We'll talk about it next. All right, coming in here, let's give away a little HTO Jad on that IHOP hotline, 869-1240. We'll give you a free iced tea, more than 25 flavors, including the all-new Strawberry Passion. It's good. These cards you'll get are good for Derby or either Wichita location, east or west. You'll also get some free rain coffee on us here at Sports Daily. So first caller right now to the IHOP hotline for some free HTO. Good luck, everybody. Jad will get us a winner there. We appreciate everybody tuning in, listening in, watching, however it is you take in the show, Sports Daily. We appreciate that as we grow and you know, do new and cool things. We always appreciate everybody hanging with us here. Been talking a lot about the NFL draft, obviously, round one tonight. We've been excited about it for a long time. It's also Major League Baseball season. The Royals trying to take 3 out of 4 against Toronto. That game, first pitch at 1:10, and you'll hear it here on KFH this afternoon. This is a big, you know, big chance, big opportunity for the Royals. Tommy, I think things are settling in just a little bit here after, you know, after a rough stretch there. I still want to really focus in on these next couple of weeks. But Alec Marsh has been the Royals' most steady starter, and they've had good pitching, but boy, what a revelation he's been. And then he gets hit by a line drive in the fifth inning yesterday, has to leave the game. X-rays, according to Aaron Rodgers after the game, were negative. It's a nasty bruise. The imprints there from the seams of the ball are on it. Says he plans on bouncing back and being okay. I don't know, Tom, if you've ever been hit by a ball that way. I have, in the face, actually, where I could, like, see the seam. It hit me right in the eye. Whoa. I could see seam marks on there, but it went away. There was no damage done. So I know that kind of bruise because I've had it. So hopefully, if the X-rays are negative there, I mean, maybe you got to miss one time if the bruising is really sore. But I think sigh of relief, sort of like with Salvador Perez, in a season where injuries have just decimated Major League Baseball, the Royals have been pretty fortunate. They may have dodged a big bullet last night because Alec Marsh has been the guy. Like, he has been their best reliever, Tommy. I mean, he's been their most consistent, we'll say, starter. What are we now, five times through the rotation?
Yeah, and I think that dodge a bullet is absolutely correct as far as, you know, avoiding what looks to be serious injury for Alec Marsh. What I think has been remarkable for Kansas City overall from the start of the season to now, the number of games, even early in the season, that they've won with not getting a lot of offense. You know, they've won five games so far this season, five of their 15. It's a third of their wins. When the Royals' offense have scored three or fewer runs, they've won five of those games. And so that tells you that pitching has been really good. You know, starting pitching has been really good for the most part overall. I think that looking back at the last couple of games, the bullpen has started to come along. James MacArthur looks like he might be the real deal for them closing games. And so I think that you mentioned, I think you said the words, the Royals are settling in. And I think that that probably, you know, has something to do with it. And they needed over the last couple of days some kind of slump buster. And they got it. You know, Bobby Witt Jr. played great last night. That's what he's there for. He's there to, you know, get the team out of funks. And he was able to make that happen last night. And so another good win. They've got this chance to take the series. And we've talked about over the last several days is how important this stretch of baseball is for Kansas City. If they can take three of four from Toronto after losing the opening game and then, you know, losing against the Orioles in a couple of the games last weekend, that's going to be really essential.
I think you bring up an interesting point with Bobby Witt Jr., and I agree with you.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
One of the big, I think, evolutions in his game, you know, late last year and into this year has been what you said there. Like, really shouldering the load single-handedly. You know, and I know it's not single-handedly, and you can't really do that in baseball, but that part of the evolution of his stardom is taking shape, where he is, you know, he just feels like he's going to fix it. Like, whatever it is, he'll fix it, whether it's incredible defensive plays, whether it's stealing bases, all of it. He's doing that now. Like, he is taking that next step, and that's big for, you know, for a team that's not going to have the depth, and the Royals aren't going to have the depth in the lineup that a lot of their peers are going to have, that's pretty important. And then the bullpen, Quatraro, man, I don't know how much heat he got last year. I gave him some because the team wasn't getting better, but it wasn't really about him as much as it was about how do you stick with something when it was bad and got worse. But I think he deserves a ton of credit this year. It's not easy sometimes for managers to shake up what they've laid out in their planning early in a season, but he has totally reshaped the way he's thought about his bullpen, and it's working. He's pushing the right buttons. And I think, you know, the pitchers deserve the most credit for that, but getting these guys and being able to abandon the preseason plan quickly, I think he does deserve credit for that.
Yeah.
And this bullpen could be, you know, like we keep saying, like, it just needs to be not the worst in baseball. What if it does become an asset? You know, like, what if they're able to add to it at the deadline, maybe, or maybe they just have enough and it becomes an asset now?
I think that that's, I think that that's a realistic possibility.
Pretty big dang deal.
It's a realistic possibility. And, you know, I know that you look at the final stat lines from last night and Zerpa didn't have a great outing, but in his defense, he didn't know he was going out there to pitch until Alec Marsh had to leave the game, you know?
Right.
So that wasn't
right.
part of the Royals' plan. But in the last two nights, in both of these wins against Toronto, it's been Schreiber, it's been Stratton, it's been MacArthur. And I think that it's, to your point, really tempting for managers when you've got bigger name relievers, regardless of how dominant people think they are, they're names that people recognize, and when they're acquired in the offseason to bolster a bullpen like Will Smith and Nick Anderson, they're names that have been around for a while, people know them, it's really tempting to just continue to want to lean on them in high leverage situations. And when it's not working, just continue to go back to it and go back to it again. And they're going to work their way through it, and they're going to keep it. But then in the process, the team's losing games and they're blowing saves and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It takes a lot of guts, I think, to be able to say, look, this is not working. It's early on. We've got a great season going so far. We want to keep it going. So we need to be flexible and open to making changes and moving away from maybe the players that, you know, people know to the players that are actually going to be the most effective. And in this case, it's the bullpen, and it's guys like MacArthur, and it's guys like Schreiber, and it's been Stratton lately.
And these are guys with experience in some ways. I don't want to overthink the bullpen. Right. They're hot right now, too. It's going to take a long time for us, just like the rotation. I mean, we want to love the rotation. It's been hot out of the gates. It's coming back to earth a little bit. The bullpen is hot right now. Like, what is the happy medium between what we saw out of the bullpen early and what we're seeing now? I think I'm pretty optimistic that it could be good. Right. Bullpens are weird. Bullpens are really weird. I feel better in this series. I do. I still want to see these next 2 weeks. And it's so great to see. It's so great to see Bobby Witt Jr. and his continued evolution, and to give the Royals this banner carrier for the organization, knowing that they signed him long term. You've got the face of your franchise, you know, and Salvador Perez has worn that hat well, very well, in fact, and he's going nowhere. But you've got a star in Bobby Witt Jr., and he's playing like a star, and he's picking them up in every way that he possibly can. And he does it in all the different phases of the game, and that's awesome. So today, you've got Cole Ragans. Cole Ragans needs a bounce-back game in a real bad way. Cole Ragans, you know, a lot rides on him for the future of this franchise, but for this season, too. And his last outing was absolutely dreadful. But two out of his last three haven't been great. You remember, like, he pitched well against the Mets in the game that they lost. But against the Astros, he gave up 10 hits. 10 hits in that game against the Astros in five innings. So he needs to start missing some bats here again. And just totally erase the Baltimore game, because the Baltimore game was an absolute disaster, one of his worst ever. And you got a chance here today to come back, to get back on track and do that. They're going up against, who's pitching for the Jays? Oh, well, Berríos, one of the best in the game, certainly the best, you know, one of the best this season. He has been lights out this season. He has given up, he hadn't given up a run, an earned run in his last three starts. So you're looking at almost 20 innings here it's been since he's given up a run. And in those 20 innings, he's only given up 11 hits. So, you know, he is as good right now as there is in baseball. And he is killing it. That's who the Royals go up against today. But they've got their ace on the mound, or at least who they think is their ace, in Cole Reagans. So that's kind of what you want, right? Like, you're at least going to split the series. You can sort of let it all hang out today if you're the Royals. Go after Berríos. Get after it. Know that probably you're going to need good innings out of your bullpen. If, you know, if Reagans pitches well and Berríos pitches well, it may get into a bullpen game. And, you know, at the end of the game, we'll see what happens. But catch lightning in a bottle a little bit. But again, when you're going up against a guy who hadn't allowed a run in the last three outings over 20 innings, good luck. We'll see what the Royals can do. That game gets underway. The coverage of it begins at 1 o'clock right here on KFH. So be sure to listen in. We'll be back tomorrow to react to it and look back at that series just a little bit. You hey, congratulations to Mark. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
What I found interesting about the Royals over the last couple of days is that it wasn't 2 weeks ago that you guys started talking trade deadline and started talking about how important getting the bullpen better was going to be, and the bullpen started to look better almost immediately after you guys talked about that.
Well, right out of the gates, it was all about get Will Smith out of the closer's role. That's not what he's going to do. If he's going to be able to help, it won't be as that. And I understand like why they maybe wanted to try doing that early, but no, that was never going to be it for this team. Then, Jad, it's interesting because they reshuffled and it's working. I still do think, though, you can never have enough in the bullpen.
Well, that's something that you said before, too, is that that's something every team wants all the time.
But,
yeah.
But I will say, though, like, if you're solid at the back end, it's much less expensive to go get, you know, like a handy reliever versus somebody you need to send out there in the, you know, the eighth or the ninth inning. And if they don't need that, they won't have to spend as much. I think there's a moderate chance there by the time if this settling of things in the bullpen continues at the clip, and it's far too early to know if it will, there's a pretty good chance they'd have a bigger need for a bat in the lineup than they would that. The hope is you don't need anything in the rotation, right? Because right now with what we've seen, there's nobody in the rotation you'd want to push out necessarily of the rotation. Now, injuries have crushed across baseball this year, so that can always change. But boy, if you don't have to go after starting pitching, and maybe you don't have to go in and after back into the bullpen, now they become better players for bats. And the thing about trading for bats, I think, for Kansas City, is they could probably target guys you could use a little longer, right? Like maybe there's a, you know, you're not going after Juan Soto, but maybe there's a guy with 2-3 years left on his contract or has some arbitration years that fits into your budget long term. Maybe they could identify that type of thing instead of a rental. The possibilities open up if their bullpen's good, because it'll take the urgency off having to do everything you can to solve a bullpen. But it's been good lately, and they got a big challenge today with Berríos trying to take 3 out of 4 against Toronto. We'll come back. More Sports Daily. Congratulations to Mark for winning the HTO, free iced tea, free coffee. We appreciate you listening, Mark, and everybody listening. You'll have another opportunity tomorrow. Stick around. More Sports Daily coming right up. All right, welcome back, everybody. It's almost time, that NFL draft. Tommy, I'm seeing Marvin Harrison Jr. talk a little bit about skipping the combine. I always think it's interesting when people get so concerned about players skipping the combine. The high-profile players. What does Marvin Harrison need to prove at the combine?
Right? Nothing. I've got no issue with him skipping.
I don't think he's trying to hide anything. So he was asked about it, and he said it was pretty much based on a conversation with his dad. And, you know, a Hall of Fame wide receiver. And most of it was just about, like, preparing his body for an NFL season. And, you know, and he's had a couple injuries in college. Like, Did you watch that quarterback documentary and see what Kirk Cousins has to go through on a weekly basis to get? So if your Hall of Fame dad is giving you the advice of, man, you just need to focus on getting your body right right now. Now is not the time that you need to worry about the fastest 40 time you can run. And for a guy like him, NFL, they don't need the combine to see him play football. Turn on the tape, man. Like, I get it for a lot of players. It's a chance to show off some of the physical traits maybe that weren't allowed to be shown. But Marvin Harrison doesn't have anything to prove. We saw enough of him in college. So if he is getting the advice of a Hall of Famer to, you know what, chill and get your body right, you chill and get your body right. The other thing I thought that was really interesting, out of wherever this interview was, I'm pulling it from CBS Sports. I think just a conversation with NFL media close to the draft. But he said that his dad told, you know, you got to be yourself in these interviews because it basically like just act like who you want to act like for these teams because you need to know and they need to know how they're going to react to that. I thought that was interesting advice too. We're seeing a lot of Tommy, Bobby Witt Jr., Jackson Holliday, Marvin Harrison Jr. There are a lot of Patrick Surtain. There are a lot of really good second-generation players, and it makes me feel like not only do you win the genetic lottery, but you have this other lottery that you get access to of the best advice you could possibly get on how to succeed at that level. It's just not fair for the rest of us.
Did you mention Patrick Mahomes? I mean, he's there too. Fernando
Different
Tatis
sport, but
is
yes.
there.
Yeah,
there are quite a few that are second.
I don't know how much. The reason I didn't say Mahomes, by the way, I don't know how much Pat Mahomes Sr. telling Patrick Mahomes about being a football player. But yeah, exactly. Second generation athletes that follow their parents in these sports, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Like, you know, the star players whose parents were athletes doing literally the same thing. It's not fair for the rest of us. Look at us, you know. Like,
yeah,
we never had a chance.
Jad just made a great point. Shador Sanders is right there too, you know, and if Shiloh Sanders that's all there too.
How about this for a prediction? And maybe I've already made this prediction because I've been thinking it for a long time. I think maybe I have, but you know, 1 year ish before next year's NFL draft, Shador Sanders is going to be the number one overall pick next year. He's going to be the number one overall pick. I think he's good. I think he's going to be the best quarterback, and usually the best quarterback gets taken number one overall. I think it's going to be Shador Sanders next year. But yeah, his dad, and his dad's very public about the advice that he gives him, you know, going as far to say, yeah, we aren't going to play for any of these teams. We'll see. I don't know. Dylan Edwards' transfer brings up, how do you think this is going to go for Prime in year two in the Big 12?
Well, I think that one way or another, because he's such a, you know, media lightning rod, that it's either going to be the best thing in the world or the worst thing in the world. There's really no in-between for Prime. And so with the news of just kind of this mass exodus out of Colorado, you know, I think it could very well not end up going well this year for Colorado. I don't know that, but regardless, that's going to get a ton of attention. Like, I'm just already preparing myself for the onslaught, you know, and Colorado could very easily be, you know, the team that gets the most media exposure, despite the fact that they could be 3-9. You know what I mean?
Yep. Like that sort of thing. No, they will, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing for the Big 12, by the way. I like that that's the case. Their non-con schedule features Nebraska, North Dakota State, and Colorado State. Knowing that, Tommy, and Vegas odds are and win totals are not out yet, I'll say 4.5 wins for Colorado, over under. Which way are you going?
I'm going to go the under, I think, as of now. If I knew that there was, you know, not the exodus of players out of the program, I'd probably go higher than that.
Don't forget they're bringing in a lot of players, too, though.
I mean, I don't know.
They brought in like 50
For now,
50 dudes
cautiously,
something.
I'm going to say I'll take the under.
So I'll call North Dakota State and Colorado State wins. Nebraska's a wash. Baylor, I'll call a win at home. Cincinnati at home, maybe. That might be it. We're getting close. It's going to be fun. They'll be the most interesting team again. We'll follow them, of course, because now they're in the Big 12, and we love that. 869-1240. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network. Get you prepared. next.
Before the puck drops, BetMGM is...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.